This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The stories of transgender people reach back to the beginnings of recorded history. In recent years, the psychiatric, medical, and secular worlds are beginning to appreciate the authenticity of lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, and queer people. But many Christian churches and denominations continue to oppress and vilify the LGBTQ community. In From the Wilderness is a story of a transgender man who has been an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church since 1984 and quietly served his congregations for 28 years before sharing his story and spiritual journey with his congregation, denomination, and the world. Reverend David Weekly stepped into the pulpit of the Epworth United Methodist Church in Portland, Oregon on August 30th, 2009, to share his story for the first time. That story has now been published as a book.
And we're joined on the phone by Reverend David Weekly. Welcome back to People First Radio, David.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Congratulations on the publication of your book, In From the Wilderness. I read it from start to finish, and I appreciated it very much.
Oh, thank you. I hope it was interesting.
It was. In the chapter titled Awakening, you share a conversation with Miss Phyllis Asnian, who's a 10th grade teacher. She looks at you eye to eye and asks you, "Are you all girl? Tell us about growing up as a transgender child and youth."
I think until that day, I had never really articulated to an adult how I was feeling in my life. It's kind of a strange world. I've talked to other people in the LGBTQ community, and there is a sense of being more of an observer in life. And so you grow up, you relate to people, but there's always this sense of being different from them and at a distance. And that day in Phyllis Asnian's classroom, that was the first time that anyone had asked me or had really shared that they were aware of some difference in me that I had been experiencing just growing up in the world. And so that kind of put it together that day for me.
Now, you mentioned the outsider experience and also the experience of being trapped, which happens, which you comment on a couple of pages later when you talk about Dr. Kramer. You talked with him about being trapped in the wrong body, yet wanting to live like other people.
Yes, I think my experience, I don't know if this is universal, but at a very young age, my first image of a friend, of a good friend, with a little boy up the street named Gary. And this is probably from about the age of 4, because he moved away by the time I was 5. And Gary and I would get together almost daily to play. And I never thought of myself as other than just like Gary in every way. And that was pretty much how I viewed myself. I never was aware of any kind of incongruity until I went into the school system in kindergarten, and that's when teachers and other adults were kind of doing the sorting out by gender things that began at around that age, and I was consistently put in what to me was the wrong group. I couldn't have articulated it that way, but and then by the time I was 11 or 12 and old enough to see and understand the differences between boys and girls and approaching puberty, it came to me the only way I could express that experience was being born in the wrong body. It didn't match what was happening internally. And as I was growing into awareness of myself as a human being,
You describe your early years following the surgeries that you went through, and this would be in your young adult years, and the subsequent transition as being the most difficult of all. There were very few supports at that time. What was it like to make that transition in gender?
Well, the biggest challenge, I think, was the isolation. And this time, it wasn't because I didn't really fit into society. Oddly enough, now I was perceived, you know, I kind of fit in and just was one of the guys. But my socialization had been very different, and there were no really support systems or group. There was no internet. There weren't other people out there to find easily to connect with about how to learn to live in the world in a new way.
And lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. And I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
In From the Wilderness is the story of a transgender man, a Christian, an ordained minister, a loving husband and father, a human being. Reverend David Weekly challenges his denomination and all Christians and spiritual seekers to consider the truth of gender identity and sexual orientation as God-given gifts to be celebrated and embraced among all other gifts. We're speaking with David Weekly about his new book and his journey in From the Wilderness.
Some years before you entered the ministry, you worked in a small psychiatric hospital. You write, "Over time, I became convinced that what people sometimes experience and describe as mental health issues are at heart existential and spiritual matters demanding resolution." Tell us more about that.
Well, I started working at the hospital right after I graduated with my bachelor's degree in psychology, and at that time, my intention was to continue into graduate school later. But as I began to work with people in the hospital and talk with them, more and more when we would, you know, be in small group settings or one-on-one, some of the issues that they would bring up really had to do with life purpose and meaning and questions about their spiritual lives, and sometimes that was in traditional language, you know, like relationship to God. Sometimes it was less defined, but seemed to have to do with meaning and purpose and questioning the universe, I guess. And as I worked with people, it became clear that at least at that time, back in the late 70s, early 80s, psychology was predominantly behavioralistic and really didn't look at those kinds of things. And so I started thinking about spiritual things that I had read, and thinking that the spiritual journey is a lot of what those people were sharing with me, and that maybe that was more the way I could work more effectively with people. And also, it was the predominant story of my own life. And so that seemed to match really well and help me change direction.
The name David means beloved of God, and your story is at its core a spiritual story, a story of faith. You write, quote, "I chose this name after a period of prayer and reflection. I chose it because it defined how I understood my life and what I also hoped for in the future." Tell us more about that faith journey that you experienced.
Well, I had spent a lot of time searching my own relationship with God and sense of relationship. And I think in some ways, because I grew up outside of the institutional church, I kind of escaped some of the experiences some folks have shared of being told they were not loved or not lovable, that they were not welcome. And my relationship, my spiritual journey was more personal and had always been a very positive awareness of that presence of God in my life. And so when I chose my name, I wanted it to reflect that. And the things I was trying to do in my life, I guess in my own way, were attempts to be on that journey, to listen to the leading of what I understood as the Spirit. And so the name expressed that. And at the time, being unfamiliar with the institutional church, I didn't realize there may be some places where I wouldn't be perceived that way by others.
David, you're about to travel to Washington, D.C. for what is called a Clergy Call for Justice and Equality, convened by the organization Human Rights Campaign. What will happen there, and what is the importance of that event?
Well, the Clergy Call is going to be a group of not only Christian clergy, there will be also some rabbis and leaders of other faith traditions. But it's basically, there'll be a gathering of more than 300 faith leaders, and together we'll represent over 30 groups. All 50 states in the United States will be represented, and we'll have an opportunity to meet with the leaders from our states specifically to talk about current bills that are pending that have to do with LGBTQ rights. For example, in housing, in employment, and in safety in the schools for students. And those are all issues that are really critical for me personally.
David, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. It's gone by very quickly, but I'm wondering if you'd like to add anything else to our discussion.
I'd just like to thank all the people that have taken time in reading my book, especially those who have sent me emails and letters. I really appreciate hearing the stories that other people have to share, and I just hope that will continue. And I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you again.
David, thanks very much, and it's nice to speak with you again. Good luck in the Clergy Call work as well.
Oh, thank you very much, Kip.
Reverend David Weekly is a transgender man who has been an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church since 1984. David's new book, In From the Wilderness, is available online at Amazon.com or at the publisher's website, whipfandstock.com. That's WIPFandstock.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.